Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, as we know by now, this is a record-setting year for revivals on Broadway, more opening every week. This past one, I saw three reimaginings, as they prefer to be called. One is a four-character comedy drama written by the man who took home an Oscar 2 years ago. Another is a farcical piece about art in the time of revolution, written by one of the great playwrights of our times. The third is a love story about a deaf woman and her teacher, but on a larger scale about how we connect and communicate, or don't. So let's begin with Lobby Hero, now playing at the brand new, or well, also reimagined, Hayes Theater. Now let me start with a seemingly off-the-wall question. Why are other theaters called the August Wilson, the Neil Simon, the Stephen Sondheim, the Al Hirschfeld, and so on? And the legendary actress Helen Hayes only gets her last name on the marquee. Well, anyway, this is a lovely venue, about half the size of most Broadway houses, so it almost feels like a cross between off and on Broadway, which makes sense since it's the new home of the Second Stage Company. And Lobby Hero, first and last produced off-Broadway in New York in 2001, is a lovely inaugural choice. It is penned by Kenneth Lonergan, the man behind the play This Is Our Youth, and the film Manchester by the Sea. Lobby Hero takes place inside an apartment building in New York. A security guard sits at the entrance, and he doesn't ever want to be called a doorman, by the way. The other three characters include his superior officer, who is undergoing a personal crisis, a veteran police officer who comes by to visit a prostitute on the 22nd floor, and his young, smitten female rookie partner. This is a two-act piece, naturalistic in style, great dialogue. Don't take this the wrong way, but doesn't that qualify as police brutality? One day you're going to end up in a lobby like this and everyone will be calling you Pops. The four actors are Michael Cera of Juno and other films fame, Brian Tyree Henry, the star of the hip TV series Atlanta, Chris Evans, who film fans know as Captain America, and Belle Polly, who made a splash in the movie Diary of a Teenage Girl, and they are all first rate. There is one incident that propels the plot involving the head security officer's brother. It slowly threatens the future of all the characters. Questions of honesty, ethics, loyalty, sexual harassment, and race all come into play. A lot of black people in jail who don't belong there, says one character. Yep, it resonates all these years later. The show runs out of steam about 15 minutes near the end, but for the most part, Lobby Hero is a revival that feels fresh and of the moment. Now, from the lobby, let's move to a library in Zurich in 1917. The show is Travesties. The playwright is Tom Stoppard, and this is its first production on Broadway since 1975, when it won the Tony for Best Play. Well, now it will likely be a candidate for Best Revival. Here, with typical Stoppard-ish brilliance and audacious wit, he imagines Lennon, James Joyce, and Tristan Zara, the poet, essayist, and man behind Dadaism, discussing revolution, war, and mostly the purpose of and need for art. The cast of eight is great, most prominently Tom Hollander in the leading role of one Henry Carr. Now, Carr earned a minor mention in James Joyce's Ulysses, a book, by the way, that one character calls an overripe corpse. And Stoppard has made him our storyteller, looking back upon this tall tale. This is a roundabout production. Todd Haynes, who runs that company, describes the play as a fever dream of historical moments, indeed, and many hysterical ones as well. The dialogue is pretty priceless. Travel gives me an appetite, like renouncing my beliefs. I knew Gilbert, but not Solomon. To lose one revolution is misfortune. To lose two looks like carelessness. Now be warned, this is absurdism, farce. The actors occasionally break into choreography with a lot of fast-paced conflicting ideology. Stoppard can be daunting, and the instinct is to think, I'm not smart enough for this. There were a number of walkouts I noticed at intermission. My suggestion, if it sounds like your cup of vodka, is to let the insecurity about academic rigor go and allow the pontificating panache to splash over you. I admire any play that asks, as this one does, if art inspires and changes society, or is it the other way around? Is it a pointless substitute for real action, art for art's sake, in the words of the Dada proponent, or a necessary tool? My third new old production was Children of a Lesser God, written in 1979 by Mark Medoff. It was a success on stage, and later when it became a film. This incarnation stars Joshua Jackson of TV fame making his Broadway debut, and newcomer Lauren Ridloff making hers. The revival, directed by Kenny Leon, is at the relatively intimate Studio 54 venue, where six actors perform beautifully on a spare stage in a story about those who hear and those who don't, and within the deaf community, those who have chosen to read lips and speak in the best way possible, and those who prefer to sign and basically live in silence. Joshua Jackson has a challenging role. He speaks his words and translates others' thoughts of a teacher who helps those who read lips, and then he meets his match in Sarah, a stubborn young woman who considers anything but sign language a surrender. My hands are my voice, she says. Yes, they fall in love and are married by the second act, but it is not long before the honeymoon is over. Both lead actors could be nominated for Tonys, Ridloff in particular, who is a deaf African-American young woman. The true story is that she was a teacher and mom who was called in as a favor for a reading of the play. She knocked everyone out, and well, the following auditions were deemed unnecessary. They are a moving couple facing complicated questions, and the chemistry is palpable. Does it feel dated? Well, except for the unnecessary reference to Ozzy and Harriet, it sort of doesn't. This, after all, may be a time of social networking and alleged connections, but are we in fact communicating better? Finally, I did venture off-Broadway to Playwrights Horizons to see its new offering called This Flat Earth. Now, this is a five-character piece by Lindsay Ferrantino dealing with the aftermath of a school shooting. It's well-performed, but I found it ponderous and, frankly, not very credible. While I love the concept of the loss of innocence and the kind of fear that can grip a child, the idea of a teenage girl not being aware of school shootings, well, it was hard to swallow. And some of the lines are repetitive and a stretch for humor. My parents bought them at a vintage store from the 90s. Lots of those. Though let me say that while cranky critics have not warmed to this one, the audience seemed engaged, and well, that's good. So the last two big new ones about to open are My Fair Lady with its allegedly Me Too state of mind, and Eugene O'Neill's Iceman Cometh, starring Denzel Washington. Now, I walked by that theater yesterday, and I was happy, if not totally surprised, to see so many ticket buyers of color. Well, that's proving one thing again, Jill. If you tell them stories that feature people who look like them, they will cometh.
And as, you know, again, audience, don't underrate your audience, you know? I just, in so many different arenas, I just think that sometimes people forget that the purpose of doing the whole thing is to communicate whatever it is to a group of people.
That's true. And this is, I have to say, you know, I keep talking about the so many revivals, et cetera, but they're challenging ones. These are challenging shows, from Iceman to Angels of America to...
Can I just... I'm sorry, is this your show? I just want to interject, however. Reimaginings, revivals. If this just staggers me. If you don't bring these things back, how are people supposed to know about them?
Well, of course, of course. This just happens to be a glut of them at one time that's worth noting. But, of course, these are, by and large, really interesting plays. And coming at really interesting moments. Obviously, the people behind them knew that and felt that something about these stories resonates, or they haven't been seen in 25 years. It is amazing how...
And they're timely, you know, so you find out that this is when something stands the test of time. It's elevated, I believe, in the canon rather than, you know, it's almost an antidote to the disposability of the, we did it once. You know, there's no sense of what goes into it and to just toss it out. Now, that's different from, you know, when you write your masterpiece, you don't have to do it again. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But just say that, you saw it, you spent 8 years of your life on it, but it's done. You had your run. Later is ridiculous.
That's right. And it's an interesting time. I think we talked about this a little bit last week, that you've got these heavy shows, and by and large, these are pretty heavy. But then you've got, as I was walking by Iceman Cometh, I walked by Come From Away. I walked, which is truly a feel-good show. I walked by Waitress, Long Lines, truly good, a truly feel-good show. A Bronx Tale, still there. Obviously, a feel-good show there. It's a nice balance right now, I would say, on Broadway. You really do have your choices. When people say, hey, I'm coming to New York, what should I see? I always ask, now, wait a minute. Do you like musicals? Do you like Broadways? Do you like heavy musicals? We've got Carousel. Or do you like, you know, just the old-fashioned feel-good? So it's a pretty interesting mix right now of the, I don't want to say the high and the low, because everything has high and low in it, but, you know, of the up and the down. And there is truly something for everybody, I would say. If you come to New York, can't find something to see, I think the problem is you.
Stage Right or Not, with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.